Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Thank you. Appreciate it. I got a prayer request for you. Please continue to pray for Dorothy Kangro as she's in the hospital up here, Florida Hospital Connerton, and Rusty Hawkins after his kidney transplant is doing very well. Continue to pray for both of them for full recovery. I also was received this prayer request this morning. John Alec, 74 years old, just diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Yeah. Also for his wife, Debbie. They're friends of Sharon Brown. So that's John Alec, A-L-A-C-H, 74 years old, and diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. You know, all of us have lots of needs, and just so glad that you're here with us today. If you're a guest, we want to extend a very warm welcome. Love to get a chance to talk to you, meet you after service. I'll be out in the foyer. I've got a Father's Day message for us today that is, I think, pertinent to all of us. Let's pray together before we get started. Father God, we thank you for your blessings, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. No matter where we are in our journey of faith, sometimes we just forget you. And that's, I know, ridiculous, but we're thankful for the life that you have given to us. There's difficulties, there's storms, and we know, as we mentioned in the series we just finished up last week, that when a storm is over, guess what? There's another one on the horizon. But we need each other, and we need to stand together. We need to love each other. We need to be gracious to one another. Help us to do that, to not be pretentious, but to love from our hearts as you have taught us to love. God, we just pray. We pray for John. We pray that you would be with John and his wife, Debbie. It's a very difficult time with this very difficult diagnosis. We thank you, God, that you hear all of our prayers. And so right now, we pray for Dorothy, and we pray for Rusty, and we pray for others, for Kim, as she has some tests done this week, and for Andy, who gets results of some blood tests, and so many other people we're thinking about right now. So right now, let's just, whatever your prayer request, whatever your greatest need is, would you right now just silently just lift that up to God? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, happy Father's Day. You know, when my children were little, I've got three of them, parents would say to me, treasure these moments. Remember those, right, when your kids were little? Treasure these moments. It goes so fast, right? It goes so fast. It just goes so fast. Yeah, you know, short shorts were never a good idea. But anyway, it's my oldest on the left, that's Brandon, who is now 31. That's Adam. Gosh. Adam, who is now 24, and Carissa, who is now 20, on the right, 27. It just goes so fast, doesn't it? And you know what I've learned? That it does go so fast. When people said it goes so fast, it goes so fast. I mean, where does time go, right? There they are now. And, you know, I've been asking myself, I really wonder what my children will remember about me when I'm gone. That's the question. One I want to talk about today. I wonder about my legacy. There was an obituary in the New York Times some years back. It only had two sentences. It said this: Victor Dorman, who changed the way Americans buy cheese by putting paper between the slices, which is very important, right? You need to have that. Was, if you eat that kind of cheese, was chairman of the Dorman Cheese Company when he died on March 4th in his home on Delray Beach, Florida. He was 80 years old. That's all it said. Well, I did a little research on that, And actually, Victor Dorman lived quite a life. Quite a life. He had been a naval officer years past. He had been a philanthropist. But after 80 years, the thing that he was remembered for was the guy who put paper between the slices of cheese. I attended a funeral for some years back now for a friend's father who had died. And at his funeral, he was remembered for only three things: golf, money, and power. Golf, money, and power. And I remember feeling sad that my friend didn't have something of more substance to remember his father by. But that's what he was known for. You know, golf, money, and power. Here's a headline of a Chicago paper. It says this. It said, "Architect's legacy going up in smoke." This is from like 2006, 2007. A world-famous architect in Chicago, his name is Louis Sullivan. 100 years ago, he also worked with Frank Lloyd Wright. Very, very interesting history if you like architecture. It's fun to read about some of that stuff. 100 years ago, he had 135 buildings dotting the skyline of Chicago that he had designed. 135 buildings. But over the years, you know, things happened, buildings came down, and today there are only 20 left. Thus the headline, "Architect's Legacy Going Up in Smoke." And that phrase really stuck with me. Legacy going up in smoke. And it made me think, and it made me ask myself the question, what is it that I'm giving my life to, my time to, my days to, that's just going to go up in smoke someday? I mean, is it legacy worthy? And I think the question I'm asking is this: what is the supreme legacy you can leave with your life? Have you ever asked yourself that question? Life goes so fast, we know that. Chunk. Kids are little, turn around, they're getting married, they're old, you become a grandparent or great-grandparent, and you're dead. Yeah. There's some stuff in between there, you know, but not too much. What is the supreme legacy? Happy Father's Day. What is the supreme legacy that you can leave with your life? And the Bible answers that question. This book answers that question for us. It comes down to three primary things. Life is filled. Did you ever think about it this way? Life is filled with primary things. You can walk into any building in the entire world, and that building will come down to three primary things. Well, what are they, Keith? I'm so glad you asked. They are line, I'll get this right, angle, and curve. Line, angle, and curve. Every building comes down to line, angle, and curve. There are thousands of colors in the world. Just ask Sherwin-Williams, right? Go in there, you can get any color. There's a million blues, right? Whatever color you want, you can get it. You can go in there and they'll tell you all the thousand colors. Of all the thousand colors, it comes down to what? Three, again, primary colors. Primary colors, people, what are they? Red, yellow, and blue. Somebody said maroon. No, that doesn't work. Okay. Red, yellow, and blue. Primary things. Line, angle, curve. Red, yellow, bleu, as the French say. Now, the Bible says when it comes down to leaving a supreme legacy with your life, when it comes to leaving a legacy that will remain, that will not go up in smoke one day, it comes down to three primary things. 1 Corinthians 13, the 13th verse says this, "And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." primary things. Line, angle, curve, red, yellow, blue. Faith, hope, love. Let's talk about those. The Bible first talks about faith. And faith is huge because the Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. You are saved by grace. How? Through your faith. So our very connection with God, our eternal destiny, depends on faith. And then there's hope. You cannot survive some of the setbacks. You cannot survive some of the curveballs. You cannot survive those kinds of things without hope. The heartbreaks, the things that just slam you in the face in life without a certain hope. A hope beyond the grave. And the Bible says we have a living hope through the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So faith and hope, they're huge. But then, there's love. And the Bible says the greatest of these three is love. You ever ask yourself, why of those three is love the greatest? You ever ask yourself that? Well, let me share with you why. Because while you can leave a legacy of faith and hope and love behind in this life with those whose lives you mark every day, of those three, faith, hope, love is the only one that you're taking with you to the other side, into heaven, into paradise. And when you get to heaven, you're not going to need faith. Why don't you need faith? Because you're going to see God face to face. You don't need any faith. Here he is, right? You know it's real. It's right there. You don't need the faith. And when you get to heaven, you're not going to need hope. Why not? Because heaven is a perfect place without pain and without sorrow and without sickness, the scripture says, and without waiting rooms, without tear-stained divorce papers, without death. It's a place of perfect hope. Heaven will be a place filled up with unadulterated love because God is love. And that's why love is the greatest, because while we leave a legacy of faith, hope, and love, love is the only one that we will take with us to the other side. Dads, let's leave a legacy of primary things to our children and to our grandchildren. Let's do that. I know sometimes dads can get a bad rap, you know. We stumble and we bumble through life, and that may be true once in a while for us as dads, but there's an article that I saw asking children to send in their responses to this newspaper as to why their dad was the best. Now, here are some of the responses. Here's one. My dad is the best because he is willing to help with the housework, although he complains about it a little bit. Well, quite a bit, really. In fact, he yells. Well, to tell the truth, he doesn't do any housework. I love that. One kid wrote, I love this one, sorry. One time, my dad, I love kids, they're so truthful, it's great. My dad took me to the beach, and he threw me in to see if I could swim. I couldn't. My dad saved my life. Is that wonderful? I couldn't. Now that's a dad. Get out there, kid. Another child wrote, my dad is the best. I have 5 brothers and sisters. My dad knows where to get babies cheap. Every dad, I enjoy watching Modern Family. You know, if you know what I'm talking about, the dad in that show, you know, Phil. Phil is kind of a bungling idiot sometimes, right? At times. And everybody has the Phil Dunphy moments. But I see dads and grandparents who aspire to leave a legacy of faith and hope and love. Because when all is said and done, Scripture is clear. These are the three things that are going to remain: faith, hope, and love. And some of you say, well, how do I leave a legacy of faith when I really didn't grow up with one. You know, I mean, I didn't have a dad who placed that in me. Maybe your dad died when you were young. Maybe you were raised by a single mom, or you had a dad who had his own challenges. Maybe he was a workaholic or an alcoholic, or maybe he was abusive or criminal. And you know, you wish you had memories of going out fishing with your dad, or building models together, or working on the car with your dad in the garage, you know. You wish you had memories of shooting baskets together, or of him dunking you in the pool and then saving your life. You know, those are things you want to remember. You wish you had memories, just one time, of your dad cracking up open the Bible, or saying a prayer that was authentic out loud. So what do you do when you haven't had a legacy of faith in your past? What do you do when maybe you're not walking with God yourself? You move toward faith in the present and the future, and you leave the legacy that you need to leave for your children. There's faith, and then there's hope. Life has a way of knocking us down, right? Knocking the wind out of our sails. You can get the hope kicked out of you, and sometimes it happens relationally, sometimes it happens financially, sometimes it happens professionally, sometimes it happens morally. But life has just a way of slamming you in the face sometimes, and that's why every dad and every child needs a hope to deal with the inevitable setbacks that come their way in life. When life hits you, you need to know you have a God that is in you that is greater than he that is in the world. You need to know that even though life is kind of hammering you right now with those storms, right? You have a Savior who was hammered for you onto the cross. Things didn't look good on Friday or Saturday when Jesus was killed, when Jesus was put on the cross. But on that Sunday, he walked out of the tomb, and he is alive now and forever. You have to deal with what the Bible calls a... You have what the Bible calls a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And so it raises the question, what good is unexpressed love? For love to be of any value, love that matters has to be expressed. And here's a verse I thought that maybe we could memorize together. This is a verse that, if you've never memorized a verse of Scripture in your entire life, memorize this one. It's also in your weekly. You can take it home with you to memorize it. It'll take you a couple minutes to memorize it, maybe not even that long. Galatians 5:6. It's up here for you. Let's read that together. All right, Galatians 5:6 says what? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself, how? Through love. Okay? The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That's one of those scriptures you boil down. That's what Christianity is supposed to be about. It's the only thing that counts. I think the most important characteristic that a parent can instill in a son or a daughter is that he or she is deeply loved. In fact, I would add the most important characteristic a husband can convince his wife of is that she is loved, the scripture says, as Christ loved the church. So I want to get real practical for a couple of minutes here. What are some practical ways that we can express love to one another? One way we do so is simply with, number one, a look, with eye contact. In fact, if you're sitting next to someone that you know right now, a friend, a family member, a spouse, what I want you to do is just kind of turn toward them for a moment. Would you do that? Go ahead and just turn toward them. Don't move all the chairs, but just kind of look at them, okay? I want you to look at each other in the eye for a moment. Look at them in their eyes. Okay, that's kind of uncomfortable, but go ahead and do it, right? Just do that. It's been a long time since some of you have done that with each other. Freaks you out a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah, yeah. Is that kind of freaky? Yeah. I remember we used to, I teach premarital counseling classes and different things, and be like, all right, so like one time during the day, you need to sit down at the kitchen table and hold hands so you're touching, you know, and look each other deeply in each other's eyes. That's pretty freaky to do, isn't it? Yeah. But it's important that we understand the look. What if the next time your child or your grandchild is trying to get your attention, okay? You turn off the cell phone, okay? Remember last week in the message I mentioned how many times a day the average American looks at their cell phone? You know how many times a day? 221 times a day you look at your cell phone. And now that I mentioned that, some of you want to grab your phone. Don't do it. Don't we all do it? Or you see somebody else on the phone and go, I should get on mine too, right? Yeah, all right, so what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. So you turn off your cell phone, and you turn off any all social media, and you look them in the eye, or eyes if they have two of them, right? And you say, I am going to listen to every single word, every single word that comes out of your mouth right now. You remember in Scripture the story of the prodigal son that Jesus told? This child starts coming home, and it says that the dad looked over the horizon and saw him coming. And I think there was this look of love. Looks of love are powerful, aren't they? We love with a look. But that's not all. The only way we express our love was with a look. But number two is with a word. Words are powerful, and every child needs reinforcing words all the time to let them know they are treasured and they are loved and they matter. When was the last time you looked your child or grandchild in the eyes and you said, of all the children on this planet, if I could choose any of them to be my son or daughter, I would choose you. I would choose you. Parents, loving words are so important in the heart of our children. So often they need to hear, I love you, I need you, I'm crazy about you, you belong to me, you belong in this family. This family would be totally incomplete without you. Those are powerful words. And many of you know that equally as powerful are the absence of those three words. The absence of those three words can wreck a child's heart. They can do damage in their soul that can last a lifetime. Every conversation, still to this day, every conversation I have with my children, I tell them I love them. Because I don't know how long it's, you know, I'm getting old. You never know. Might be the last one. Always tell them I love them. Dads, if you have daughters especially, it is so important that they hear these words from you. They get to hear that you love them. They need to hear that those words, because if they grow up without hearing it, without not only hearing it, without feeling it, they are going to look for love in inappropriate ways. And a lot of teenage girls go looking for love prematurely because they didn't get healthy male affection at home. You communicate with a look, you communicate with a word, words, and third, you communicate with a touch. Now, you know, sometimes just a 5-second hug can refuel your tank. You ever notice that? It's like, yeah, that was great. I don't think it's possible to overemphasize the power of a healthy, appropriate touches within the family. Loving hugs and holding hands and, you know, just kind of the arm around the shoulder, maybe a brush of your hand across a cheek. Those are powerful communicators. Remember when the prodigal son came home? Dad not only looked out, he said, my son is home, let's have a party. And then he ran out and he met him and he threw his arms around his son and he hugged him and he kissed him. Now, I am not suggesting that you run over and hug and kiss your kids the next time you're at the mall or something like that. That's usually not, they're like, yeah, get away. Got my friends around here. There are times, you know. But, you know, an arm around the shoulder and a not tickling another ribs once in a while, you know, go a long way to communicate lots of love. We need to be expressing affection and love with looks and with words and with appropriate loving touch. Jesus said this, "Greater love has no man than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Now, I want to ask the parents in this room a question. And I'm going to ask you to raise your hand if you agree, or hand. One hand is good enough. You don't have to do this, okay? And then I'm going to ask you to leave it up, okay? Don't put it down. I want to ask you, if you're a parent, would you be willing to lay down your life for your children? If you would, raise your hand. Up. Look around. Look around. Keep them up. Absolutely. My hand's up. Your hand is up. Jesus said, "There is no greater love in the world than this, that we would lay down our life for our friends, for our family, for our children." This is the best kept secret in the world. We have parents here that would lay down their life for their children. Go ahead, you can put your hands down. So here's what I want to ask and challenge every parent here. Here it is. If you're willing, and you just raised your hand, to die for your children, would you sacrifice at that same level and go out and live for them today? And leave a legacy of primary things, because it comes down to primary things. Line, angle, curve, red, yellow, blue, faith, hope, love. And the greatest of these is love. Let's pray. You know, maybe today you're recognizing that God left a legacy of love for you, and he wrote a legacy of love for you on a cross through his son for you. Maybe you need to find your way to that God. Maybe you need to find your way back to that God. So today, you can do that right now. You can find that faith that is going to give your life hope, where you will experience the unconditional love of your Heavenly Father. You could leave a legacy on other people, but you can't give them what you don't have. So today, I want to invite you to put your faith in Jesus Christ. So if that's you today, would you silently pray, "Jesus, today I put my faith in you. I accept the payment that you made on a cross for me. I ask for you to be my forgiver and my leader. I need to make changes in my life, Lord." That's why we came to God, because we need to make changes. The Bible calls it repentance. We walk in a new direction. So God, we say, help me to walk in a new direction. I'm going to need your power and your strength to do it. I can't do it on my own power. And if you've made this decision today, would you just take a card in the seat in front of you and just say, you know, "I've decided to follow Jesus," and give us your contact information. You can put that in the offering bags when they're passed in just a moment. Or stop and talk with me before you leave today so we can answer any questions that you might have. Lord, today I want to thank you for the dads here who are leaving a legacy of faith and hope and love. And I pray for all of our sons and daughters that they will remember us as parents who conveyed faith and hope and love into their hearts and into their souls. Thank you for the legacy of love you left on the cross for us. We are forever grateful. Thank you for being our heavenly, perfect Father. We lift our prayers now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.